morning, everybody, and welcome to Showtime, Point of Times in God's Eternal Kingdom. Today with us are Pastor Henry Ayala, Pastor John Valero, Steve Allen, Dale Anderson, Pastor Pat Bannister, and Hank Embleton. And I guess I am the guy speaking.
Yeah.
People at church, you know me as the announcement guy.
Abe Enix.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. God bless you this morning.
And, you know, we have a really pressing matter here we didn't talk about before we got started. Who's going to start us off?
You already have, brother.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Then you're doing a good job.
All right. I'll start us off then. One thing I was kind of thinking about is, you know, I would not say worried, but I'd say more concerned. I think a lot of people are really seeking God, but I'm kind of concerned that there might be some people who are not. And just see it like, well, how is there any way around it that, you know, I could actually, you know, study or serve God in this time when I'm kind of at home, I don't have somebody to teach me, or I don't have some way to serve others or serve God. And, you know, we kind of talked about this before, is like, you know, God knew the coronavirus was going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Is he knew that we're going to be here. And, you know, just listen to the podcast title, right? Appointed Times in God's Eternal Kingdom, right? It's, you know, we were put here at this time, in this moment. God knew it was going to happen. So I don't think God would just think, well, you know what, this is kind of a weird situation. I don't know what to do with that. So why don't you just go ahead and do your thing?
Come on.
And, you know, just wait till it's over and you'll be fine.
See how it works out.
Yeah.
He was caught by surprise, I think. You know?
Yes. So just like, you know, Abraham, you know, Moses, you know, I can't be a leader. I can't speak well. And it's like, well, no, you're here for this purpose.
That's right.
Esther, you know, you need to speak to save the people. And, you know, don't you think you're here for this time? And it's something where I think that we all need to realize that God knew us before we were in the womb. God knew us before he even created us, before we were even a thought in our parents' mind. And I think that we really need to seek God, because that's the only way that we're going to know anything. I think Pastor Pat on the Sunday was talking about, you know, this creativity we should have, right? And, you know, God, he's the creator of everything. I'm sure he can find something in some way for us to serve others. And I just, you know, say, if you don't know what it is, just keep pressing, just keep pressing, just keep pressing until you find out what it is.
That's right.
You know, I love what you said about Moses and God. You know, God telling Moses, go. Moses saying, man, I can't talk.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, it's not about you.
Come on.
Right? Amen. He's just telling you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to do the thing. So that was cool, man.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Very powerful.
Yeah, if you don't think you're needed, go step into Walmart. My father and I walked into Walmart one day, and the fear was so palatable. I mean, it was so thick, it was hard to walk in it.
Yeah.
Well, they need us. They need us to dispel that fear that has taken hold of some people's hearts. It was hard to do that. You know, everybody's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said earlier, hey, smile for me. Well, you know, they may have smiled with their eyes, but yeah, they didn't smile. You could see it. It wasn't evident.
Oh, so obviously, I mean, it is God's choice that we're here, just like Abe was saying. We're not here on the planet by any random act of luck, if you will say. I mean, we are here for a purpose, and so it's important that we understand that and
sure,
we think about that a little bit, because like as Pastor Pat was saying this last Sunday, he was saying that, you know, that we have been designed to seek after God, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. So if we're seeking him, I believe that purpose and plan actually begin to really just show up in your step. And so it's important that we remember that God has us here for that reason.
Absolutely.
No, we were talking earlier about a town of Sarita that's starting to kind of ease up on on some businesses opening and so forth, praise God. But it's like we're starting to see a little light in the tunnel as far as our entire nation, states, whatever it may be. And I was just thinking about that, you know, as this thing passes, which it will, yeah. I think the question that we should ask ourselves is, how did we do during this time?
Mm-hmm.
Did we trust? Did we really believe the words that came forth from our mouth? You know, we quote Psalm 91, you know, and nothing will happen. Was that, did we really stand upon that? So I think as the time progresses, to look back at this thing, because it definitely is going to be a memorable thing. It is. It hasn't been our normal, you know, we would all agree. And so I think the question for us is, how do we do? How did we do as an individual?
Amen.
How did we do as a church body? And I hate to even say that, but guess what? There's going to be more times like this. There's going to be other things that come our way. We never thought we would be facing something such as this,
yeah.
But here we are. And so there may be another something that's going to come. And is that little light going to shine? Or are we going to be that, the one that kind of goes, like we're saying, the fear that you feel in the stores or whatever? Are we going to be part of that? Or are we going to shine and let the Holy Spirit shine through us? How did we do?
Yeah. Yeah. Pastor John, I agree with you, but I don't think it's not just how did we do. It is how are we doing? Because the opportunities are here right now. They are. Fear is prevalent everywhere, but it's not in us. It shouldn't be in us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
We're not to walk in fear. If we are truly the embodiment of the Holy Spirit and He lives in us, then people should see us and see Him shine through us.
Absolutely.
Not cowering in fear.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that right now, through everything we're going through, and I think I shared this with Pastor Henry earlier, is that if this doesn't bring unity within the body of Christ right now, I'd be really surprised. I believe that all these names above the doors of churches all around us, they're coming down in attitude. I really think that this is going to bring our local communities, our country, together with an understanding of what we're really here to accomplish and the foolish things that have separated us from other brothers and sisters within the body of Christ. I think they're going to dwindle away. Something I wanted to read was out of the Message Bible. I read this a lot. Hebrews 11:1. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith in the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living, it's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. I mean, this is the Holy Spirit telling us, guys, I got this. I really do. Come what may, be on the word to stay. In the things that we're going through in life, it's been brought up several times here already. The world needs what we have. We have the answer. We have Jesus Christ to share with a lost and dying world around us. And He's coming soon. So realize Hebrews 11:1 says, John, Henry, Pat, all of us, Holy Spirit saying, I got this.
Amen. I like your what it said about the descendants being operating by faith. And, you know, like Pastor John said, you know, faith does cause us to look at ourselves. If you believe God, isn't that right? When you're believing God, it's going to, the faith that you have that God has placed in you, actually, it's not your own. It belongs to Christ. It is Christ's faith that is indwelling you. And so that faith in itself will kind of make you, like Pastor John said, hey, you know, we need to ask ourselves, how do we do? How is, you know, and how are we doing? Because I believe God has taken us someplace, just like you said, tearing down walls. Pastors, like you said, that, you know, the foolishness of the separation of the body of Christ is just, it's just what it is. It's foolishness. And it's now, I believe God is really trying to, you know, Abraham, when God told him, you're going to be the father of many nations, the word of God says that Abraham took that word and beyond hope, believed in hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you get what he's saying? It was impossible. And some of the things that we're hearing God saying to the body of Christ today actually feel and see and seem very, very impossible. But God has always told us that, hey, what's impossible with men is very possible with God. He's always told us that. So, like, even with Abraham, he said, who being, you know, his body yet dead, right? His body was yet dead. He believed God, and therefore he became the father of many nations, you see. And he said he believed it because of, well, listen, let me just read this piece to you. It says, as is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. And then he says in verse 18, he says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. You see, Abraham had to believe because of us. We are the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. He had to believe God, that God was going to make him a father of many nations, even though it was against it, his body was dead. He had to believe it so that it was for us, so mm-hmm. that we could see that what he believes, which is beyond hope, beyond what we imagine, God can do it. And that's cool. And that's what he's doing today. I'm really kind of getting really tired of listening to the COVID stuff. How many of you guys is that way? Oh, yeah. I'm just tired of it, man. Yeah. You know, and for what sure. I'm trying to hear is what God is saying. God's been talking to me. Look at what Abraham did. Look at what Moses did. And that's what I'm hearing. Those are the news I'm into, man. Come on. Yeah. So.
Good news.
You know, I've been hearing this throughout this entire circle. But what we say with our mouths, for out of the mouth comes the issues of the heart. So if somebody presses you in your heart, what's coming out? Yeah. It should be God's word and his will for those that are surrounding us. When it comes, push comes to shove, it is exactly what you believe. You have what you say.
That's it.
And I say that's true right this very moment. You have what you say. So let's say that which God says, be imitators of your father. Okay, I have loved my daddy. And I will say and I will do that which he has directed me to do.
Amen. So that's it.
I'm fully persuaded. And I come to the realization there's nowhere else for me to go.
That's right. Come on.
Only at the foot of the cross.
Come on, Brother Dan.
That's where I live. And that's where we live. I mean, you might have moved on, but you should never move so far that you can't see the cross and what he was able to do. You know, God is the ultimate engineer. He built a transit to heaven using 3 nails and 2 sticks. We have to come to that realization that we're never far from that. Why? Because he is risen. And he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And I will have him. I say that with a contented heart. And I know that I'm here for such a time as this.
Come on.
As all of you probably can say exactly the same thing. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in your closet. Worship, praise. Dive into the words. Like Pastor Pat, when he was up here preaching, man, he's just quickening scripture to me left and right. And that's what it should be. That's really what we're hoping to accomplish, in that have our ears open and our eyes to see. I'm not talking about the aura of your sight or these floppy things laying on the side of your head. I'm speaking about your heart, the interior of who you are.
Amen. Come on.
You know, I was just thinking of when you were talking about, you know, how Elijah and his servant, you know, they're surrounded. They're surrounded in this illustration, and the servant's freaking out. And God says, Lord, Father, open his eyes that he may see. Now, that righteousness that we walk into, that we step into, it's not till you take that step of faith that you go through that veil, if you can call it that as a physical illustration, and step into faith, that those things open up. Just like he saw the chariots of fire, he saw the angels of God all around. Man, when we step into that place, we begin to see and understand, okay, this is what God wants to do. This is how he's going to do it. It's an assurance, and it's a hope in our life. So it encourages us to do it again.
Amen.
Do it again.
Amen.
Continue.
You know, it's kind of amazing, too, like when you talk about some of those accounts that they're in Hebrews, you know, it's all based on faith. And, you know, that could be us. I mean, the power of, you know, God has been given to us. And it's like, if I give you something to do, you're equipped to do it, and you could do something, you know, for my kingdom as well. And it could be something that's like this lasting story, a testament to somebody else, whatever you overcome, whatever you accomplish, so that, you know, they can have that faith too. And that, you know, maybe even for generations to come, whatever you've done had changed the lives and courses of all these people. And, you know, just like happened with Abraham, you know, what we do can influence people for a long time, and we would have no idea. So it's important that, you know, whatever God's called us to do, we do that. Because, you know, we don't know who it is we're going to affect. It might be just this one person for the time we're alive, but that one person could touch so many more people than we could ever imagine.
Sure. Come on, man. Amen. Hank, just what you just said was how that one thing can affect. I've had like four people come up to me, ask me, who was the guy that picked up the Roadrunner? And they got so much out of picking up a Roadrunner. And you know, well, that was Brother Steve, man. And so I've had like four people ask me that. And see, that little testimony is affecting the lives of people, man. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Whatever you do is an effect. Mm-hmm. And Pastor's always saying, you know, I mean, seed time and harvest. I mean, what you do, you're going to receive something. What you think of, you're going to receive something from it. So it's always happening.
Yeah.
So God is absolutely in control.
Yep.
And Abe, you made the point about time. God controls time. We don't. He made time for us. Are we living in the end times? I wholeheartedly believe that. Absolutely. Yep. But guess what? So has every other Christian for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God's in control. It's his time. It's not our time. And so we need to plant those seeds and continue to do those kinds of things for harvest down the road, because we don't know what time down the road he's going to have that person
be harvested.
There are opportunities around us all the time. We may be constrained to our homes, but I got to tell you, the opportunity for me to minister my family has never been greater.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm already seeing some very positive things coming from that. And the Lord is going to use you if you let him use you.
Come on.
Faith is a verb. It's an action word.
That's right.
You have to walk out your faith.
Amen.
It does no good to sit still and ponder on it.
That's correct.
Amen. You know, something Abe just said is, not only is it things that you say and do for people that can change their life,
mm-hmm.
but the opposite's also true. What you don't say and what you don't do can ultimately change someone's life. So be spontaneous. When God asks you to do something, just do it right away.
That's correct. It's important that we do at the time when God's speaking. Don't mull it over. I mean, that is the biggest thing that hinders probably the kingdom is not recognizing the voice of God when he's speaking it to you and not responding because you've heard it. A lot of times we're looking backwards. Hindsight. We're going, man, God told me to do that. And I wish I would have. You know, and we all look at that a lot. But when God speaks it to you, do it, man.
Yeah.
Because we are in his time frame. I mean, that's one of the things that God has been speaking to me, one of the things that he's really been trying for me to speak out into the body is mm-hmm. the fact that you are in eternal. You are an eternal being already. You're in eternal time. God is an eternal God. The gift of God is, I mean, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You are already in eternal life. God has asked for, we pray that his kingdom would be on earth as in heaven. That kingdom does not operate on the type of time zones and stuff that Hank, you were just talking about. It operates in eternal time. That's why our mindset has to be eternally. That's why we've got to seek first the kingdom of God. Yes. That's why he tells us to look at these things and expect them, because we're in eternal time. We're not in time frame of man. It's cool.
No, I was just going to say that it's an honor bestowed upon us to be able to speak for God. I mean, think about it. You know, to give a word to encourage somebody. I mean, what a blessing. And so the whole purpose of everything is that God is going to have his way. And when he tells one of us to give a word, when he tells one of us to speak for him, guess what? If we don't do it, his will be done. He'll get somebody else
to
do
it. That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
He will. It's not like it's going to stop there and say, well, John didn't do it, so I guess I can't go forward. Oh, he's going to say, I wanted you. I wanted you to be my feet. I wanted you to be my hands. I wanted you to be my voice.
Absolutely.
And you didn't do it.
Yeah.
And so, but his will be done. And there'll be somebody else. And you, I think we've all seen that. You have something you want to say and you hold back. And then you see somebody else say that same word and you go, that was supposed to be me.
That certainly does quicken us to be more attentive to what he's saying. You know, he says that his sheep, hear his voice. I have no doubt that everyone right here, right now, has heard him speak. He has already directed your path, and you're walking in it. Glory to God. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation to God. He didn't have the angels do it. He has you and I to do just that, and to keep a focus on that which he would have us to do. Romans 12:2 is an excellent example. Spend time in his word. Get to the point where you hear him and you're able to ascertain exactly the perfect will of God.
Praise God.
Amen. You know, this coronavirus thing that was going around.
Haven't heard of it.
What's that?
What is that?
Heard of that?
Talk about the Roadrunner again.
What?
Bring the Roadrunner back.
You know, back in, I think they told me in, must have been in October, that's when it was, that my position was going to be eliminated where I was at. And it's like, man, God, I don't know what's going on. But, you know, I had a piece about it. And even when they brought you in, human resources talks to you and all that fun stuff, you know, you're just like, do you have any questions? You know, we're here to help you. And it's like, no, I really don't.
Come on, man.
Is it going to help me if I fall down here and start crying on the floor? You know, it's I don't think it's going to do any good. So anyway, you know, you just go with it and know, you know, you have a confidence that, you know, God's for me. He's with me. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I have no idea. There was a lot of things I was thinking of that could be, should be, maybe, whatever. And I said, God, there is another position open at another facility doing the same stuff that I do. And I said, you know, Lord, if that's not for me, then please, you know, close that door. And so I just kept praying about it. And, you know, my wife, she was like, hey, do you have any ideas what you're going to do? She's been a little nervous by now, you know. The weeks of ding, we're running out of time. And I was like, you know, I don't.
Hey, breadwinner. What are you doing?
Just take it easy. Anyway, finally, the job was offered to me, so I went ahead and took it. I said, God, I don't know what you're doing, where you're sending me, or why. But it turns out there's a lot of Christian folks in there, and we get to pray and do some things, and Amen. You know, we're fellowship with each other and kind of build each other up. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
But the cool thing is too, is when this was all going on, where I was working, they're all furloughed, and I'm not.
Wow. Praise
God. And so even though it may have looked bad in the beginning, you know, like something I was getting picked on or poor me, whatever. In the end, you know, God had it under control. He had already orchestrated everything. It just fell into place, and, you know, and I still have a job. And it's cool. So, you know, I give him all the glory. You know, David said, I'm founded on that rock,
That's right.
You know, and we know who that rock is, right? It's right. Jesus. So that rock is the same rock that all of us, everybody out there, has a chance, has the opportunity to be founded upon.
Come on,
right?
Amen.
Right? When you're in a boat and you throw your anchor out, you know, we used to go fishing all the time, that anchor in sand, it just drags. If the wind's blowing, you got a strong current, that boat's just moving.
Yeah.
But when it snags a rock, you're anchored fast. It ain't moving.
That's good.
You know, you're held fast. And that's an awesome thing.
Come on, man.
You know, that's our hope.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when Abraham, he made a statement one time. He was offered a bunch of money from a king. He goes, I ain't going to do it because I don't want anybody to say that you made me rich.
That's right.
I want it to be said that God made me rich. And you did the right thing. You know, you laid it before the Lord. And as, you know, we keep hearing that as we step with him into these things, they open up. I mean, everything that pertains to life and godliness is ours. When with people that are out of work right now, and we're praying for you. We are. God has got a plan for you. He's preparing your heart right now to step into something that's probably going to blow you away.
Yeah.
You're going to, who knows? But let it be said of you that it's God that did this for you. Promotion comes from the north. Comes from heaven.
Come on,
man. Amen. That's right.
Our God is so amazing.
Yeah.
He really is. Every time I take the time to sit and ponder on him, it just blows my mind. You know, he hung every star in the sky and called them all by names and knows every hair on our heads, some more than others. Yeah. I had to throw that in there, Pastor.
Why's everybody looking at me?
I don't know. You don't have to count his eyes.
Because you're shining.
And yet I'm listening to Steve's testimony thinking he was in control. He's always in control. He has always been in control and always will be in control. And it's not about him. It's about our transformation and what he's trying to do in us when we submit, when we walk in faith, when we wait on him. As Pastor Pat says all the time, that waiting is serving, right? We don't just sit still and do nothing, but we wait on the Lord by serving the Lord. And that's all about our transformation, our evolution. What the Holy Spirit is doing in us.
Evolution. Oh, where'd that word come from? Evolution. What was that?
God's in control.
Yeah, that's it. You know what I love is what we're just talking about is one of those areas, and God speaks a lot about judgment to me. And one of the things that when things happen right in front of you, if your mindset is the kingdom of God, if your mindset is where God's brought you through and everything, you begin to gain a judgment on things that are going on around you, like what you did, Steve, it is a matter of judgment. And a lot of folks think that judgment is wrath, but actually it's not in the kingdom of God. It is how God looks at it, how he understands it, how he's trying to get you to look at it, how he's trying to get you to understand it. That's what judgment is. That's what he's trying to get us to. And because he says that, and because that you learn out of the experiences you go through, to begin to think on the, at this, hey man, this ain't going to hurt me at all because God has me. Is that right? The Holy Spirit says, I got you. You know, what's really cool about it, and in Peter, he says, he tells you, he's not to be worried about these things that are happening. Don't think them that they're crazy and everything. And he says this, he says, for judgment must begin at the house of God. And a lot of people take that scripture and use it in a very extremely negative way. But it's not actually what God is talking about. He's talking about us having the ability to look at circumstances and say, this is God, man, and I'm good with it. And see, because the world can't do it.
That's right.
Amen. They don't know how to do it. They've got no idea how to operate in judgment. And a lot of the church doesn't know how to either. And so that's why you see we get a little shook up and stuff. But when you refocus and you when that thing hits you, you refocus and you say, ooh, I got judgment in my life. God's got me. He's got my kids. He's got my family. Yeah. He's got the world in his hand. He's got the whole world. This is what God is talking about. The body of Christ gaining in the things of how God thinks. And that's why he says, hey, seek first the kingdom of God. Go work out.
You know, the entire aspect of creation trembles with joy at the manifestation of the sons of God.
That's right. Praise God.
You're here. We are called. Jesus gave us the power to become sons of God.
Yeah.
If you believe that, then you are.
You are. Come on.
And, you know, so what if we're called to martyrdom? The truth of the matter is that we died to self to be him, to be his servant.
That's right.
He gave, I gave. We both feel like we got the best deal because we have eternity stretched forth before us farther than the eye can think or see.
That's right.
You know, I shared this with Pastor Henry just a minute ago. It's going to be very shortly here. Things that shortly come, you know, you ever heard that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Things are going to happen quick. And one day soon, we're all going to be able to go home and say these wonderful words.
Well done.
Honey, I'm home. It's coming, guys.
Come on, man.
God's at work. God's making things happen.
Yes.
We got time now to prepare our hearts because we got a job ahead of us. So let's stay prepared.
Come on, man. Quick Straw. You guys remember Quick Straw?
Yeah.
What was that cartoon?
Quick Draw McGraw.
Yeah. Hey, Quick Straw, little mouse. Hey, Quick Straw. And God is quickening the church.
Absolutely.
Quick Straw. He's quickening the church.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I like to tell folks, man, is that at the very last chapter, you're going to see Jesus say something twice, I think it is. It says a lot, but there's something that he says, behold, I come quickly. And see, God is desiring to quicken you. It's not that he's coming. I mean, it means that he is quickening his body. Yeah, quick work will he do in righteousness, what it says in Romans 9, I believe, that a quick work he will do. He's talking about a quickening work, a life-giving. It's the same word that means out of the resurrection. Okay. It is the same word that quickens the body. And so get quick.
Quickly.
See, we're light and we're love. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. What an opportunity.
Amen.
You know, they're all around us. And sometimes you can minister to an individual with a simple smile, a good morning, a Coke, whatever. Howdy. Don't ever discount the power of God moving in your life, in my life.
Amen.
He's the one that does that, not me. I give him all the glory for it.
Come on.
There's nowhere else to go. Howdy. He's got it.
It's called love, you know, and something to remember, everybody, that preparation time is not wasted time.
Come on, man.
And the journey validates the arrival.
Keep working.
Keep at it.
Yeah. Keep pushing forward. Amen. I like when Moses and the children of Israel come up against the Red Sea. Moses says, God says, tells Moses, what do you stop for, man? Go on. Keep going. What? Man. But it's impossible with men. It's possible, God. And he says, take that staff. And he says, man, the earth will respond to what you're doing because you're a man of God or a woman of God, whoever you are out there, man, whoever is listening.
That's right.
And you know, also he said that to the rich young ruler too, or about the rich young ruler.
Yes.
You know, with man it's not possible. But with God it is, man. No, he could have stepped into something amazing. So keep going forward. Yeah. Keep stepping into it.
God's got you. He's going to take care of you.
God's got you.
He'll never leave nor forsake you.
That's right.
You know, it'll be you that is surprised, not God. God knew it all along. As a matter of fact, he's made provision for that. And so as you walk, as you develop, as you move towards him, he runs to you. And his voice becomes clearer and clearer and clearer to such a time that all of a sudden, I'm laying hands on the sick. I'm casting out devils. I'm doing the works of Christ. And the Lord said it very well. These works shall you do, and greater than these.
Amen.
Because I go to my Father. He has said it before us. Now, take it up. Take a bite out of that joyful apple.
Yeah. Brother Hank, you want to pray?
Oh, absolutely. Father God, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of your Son.
Amen.
Thank you. Father, we just ask that you grant peace to our body.
Thank you.
Guide our steps as we go forward. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of the opportunities you put in front of us to spread the gospel for our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name and
yes.
the power of his blood we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you for listening to Showtime, Point of Times in God's Eternal Kingdom, and we will talk to you next week.
He's got the whole world.
In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hand, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Where?
This little light of mine.
In Sarita.
I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.
All right, enough singing. Let's
hey, wait.
Let's go home.
I think Steve Toad turned off his mic. He's got to do a solo now.